If you will, turn in your Bibles to the book of Mark. Mark 14. You know, I heard a story one time about these two little boys. They were the meanest little boys in the neighborhood, and their mama just really had a belly full that day, and the little one had pushed her to her last nerve, and she decided, I'm done with him. I'm going to take him to the preacher. They lived across the street in the church, and she walked him into the preacher's office, and she said, you sit here, and shortly the preacher will be in here to deal with you. After a little while, the preacher came in. He looked the boy, and he said, boy, where is God? The little boy just looked at him all shocked and eyes big as saucers, and he looked at him again. He said, boy, where is God? This time, the little boy just looked over his shoulder and down between his legs and just shrugged his arms to say he didn't know. He looked at him last time. He said, boy, for the last time, where is God? This time, the little boy jumped up. He shot out of the office, across the street, into his house, up the stairs, into his brother's room. And he looked at his brother and he said, oh no, we've done it now. He said, what? He said, God's a missing and they think we got something to do with it. Folks, can I tell you the truth? The truth of the matter is, the sad commentary today is that looking at a lot of churches, looking on at a lot of churches that have church on the marquee out front, it looks like God's a-missing. Because you never see any activity, you never see anything going on. Looking at a lot of professing Christians today, man, it looks like God's a-missing. They don't have a smile on their face, they don't have a Bible anywhere around, they're not praying over their meals, they're not telling people about Jesus. Man, listen, there needs to be enough evidence in your life to convict you in a court of law that you're a Christian. Amen? There ought to be peace and love and joy and a smile on your face. Man, there ought to be a generous, giving heart. There ought to be love that's exuding from you. Listen, there ought to be prayer. Man, the only time you pray shouldn't be in crisis. You ought to pray for one another. Many times people come up to me and they'll say, will you pray? And I try the best I can to pray right then. Because if you don't, you're like me, you'll forget. You'll get home and you'll totally forget about that person's prayer request. And it's important that we lift things up to the Lord. Man, we need to change our attitude about what we do for God. We don't have to serve, we get to serve. We don't have to worship, we get to worship. We don't have to praise, we get to praise. We don't have to give, we get to give. Man, we don't have to do the things that we do, we get to do the things that we do. Man, think about how many other places you could be tonight than in a beautiful sanctuary, in a padded seat, in a climate-controlled room. Listen, you could be in a hospital. You could be in a nursing home. There's people in a nursing home that would love to be in this service tonight. Man, I'm telling you, there's people in jail tonight that would love to be in this service tonight. Amen? Folks, we need to just change our attitude. The reason there's so many dead and plateaued churches is because God's people are not giving their best and giving their all anymore. We got to get back to giving our best to the Lord. Not giving Him leftovers, but giving our best of our time, our talent, and our treasure. Stand with me as we honor God's Word tonight. Mark 14 and 3. And while He was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper and reclining at the table, there came a woman with an alabaster vial of very costly perfume of pure nard. And she broke the vial and poured it over His head. But some were indignantly remarking to one another, why has this perfume been wasted? For this perfume could have been sold for over 300 denarii and the money given to the poor. And they were scolding her. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you bother her? She has done a good deed to me. For the poor you will always have with you, and whenever you wish you can do them good. But you do not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for the burial. And truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, that also which this woman has done shall be spoken of in memory of her. Father God, let us have a legacy like Mary. God, let us, Lord, give you our best. Lord, let us give you our all. Lord, tonight I just pray that you would touch down in this service. And you would bring great conviction. Lord, in many different areas. Lord, mostly, I pray if there's one here lost that you would draw them to be saved and tonight would be the night of their salvation. And Lord, I just pray, God, that there would be freedom here tonight. Liberty here tonight. Lord, to preach your word, to receive your word, and most importantly, to respond to you and your word. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Folks, they were gathered around the table. We got a word for that in Baptist circles. It's called fellowshipping. Amen. I've done my share of fellowshipping. You can tell by looking at me. Amen. Folks, I'm going to tell you, it reminds me of a story of a teacher. She told her kids, she said, I want you to bring something in Monday morning and tell about your faith. This little girl came in. She said, my name's Mary. She said, I'm Catholic. And these are rosary beads. Little boy came in. He said, my name's Joy. He said, I'm Jewish. And this is Star David. Little redheaded Johnny came in. He said, my name's Johnny. I'm Baptist. And this here's casserole. Folks, I'm going to tell you what. I had never met a casserole that I didn't like. Amen. Had a couple of close calls, but I've liked them all. Amen. But I'm just going to be honest with you. Listen, if we in Baptist circles throughout the nation have become more known for cover dishes, listen, fried chicken and casseroles, instead of getting people to Jesus and getting people saved, there's something wrong. True biblical fellowship is not just sharing a meal. True biblical fellowship is sharing your life. Man, it's carrying one another's burdens. It's praying for one another. Feeling their pain. It's going through burdens and problems and storms with one another. Heard a story one time about this woman. She loved the Lord. She was in church every time the doors opened. But her husband, he just never would go with her, never would. She would invite him to everything, invite him to dinners, invite him to singings. He just never would go. He always used the same excuse. I don't want to go down there. They're a bunch of hypocrites. You know that's the number one excuse you use with people. You know what I tell people? Man, you go to the ball field with us. You go to Walmart with us. You might as well come to church with us. Amen? Folks, because truth of the matter is, there's nobody here tonight that's living 100% of what you know 100% of the time. And that'd qualify all of us for hypocrites. Amen? So we might as well just come be happy together. Amen? But folks, the bottom line is, we need to come and gather together and pray and love and listen, worship and give and serve together. It makes a difference when you go through a storm if you've got your church family. It makes a difference. Listen, I'm here to tell you tonight, you're either going through a valley, you're in a valley, or you're about to go into a valley. Some of you say, thank you very much, preacher. I appreciate that encouragement. But that's just life. That's just the truth. But it's so much better to go through that valley with a church family that loves you and lifts you up and supports you and cares for you. That man got some bad news from the doctor. He found himself in the hospital with tubes all over his body. The preacher came to visit him. The room was just full of flowers and cards and gifts from all the people in that church that he'd call hypocrites. The man could barely speak, but he motioned for the preacher to come down, and the preacher just put his ear down next to the man's lips, and he just whispered out as he took his finger and pointed around the room. He said, tell them I was wrong. Now, do you believe in deathbed confession, deathbed repentance? Absolutely. Thief on the cross. But why would you want to waste a lifetime of opportunity serving the Lord? Opportunity of being with God's people. Man, I don't know about you, but if I'm not in church, I miss church. Amen? If I'm sick or something and can't go, I miss church. I miss God's people. I miss God's house. And I'll just take it a step further. I love coming to church when I'm not preaching. I love hearing other people preach. There's something wrong with preachers that only like preaching when they're preaching. Amen? But folks, listen, we need to get back to giving our best and giving our all. We're not giving our best in so many different places. One is attendance. The average church member today, statistics tell us, misses 26 Sundays a year. 26, that's half of the opportunities to worship. And people will still say things like this. They'll say things like, well, I just don't feel loved down there. Well, show up. Amen? How loved would you feel with your wife if you came home every other night? Get back with me and let me know how that works out. Amen? Folks, you got to be committed. Man, we got to be excited about coming to God's house. Man, could you imagine if the preacher said, man, everybody that comes next week's going to get a free trip to Hawaii. That parking lot would be full of deacons with flower lays. They'd be out there going, hallelujah, hallelujah. Because they'd be excited about where they're going. Folks, we need to get that excited about coming to church. We don't need to have those selective illnesses on Saturday night. Oh, I think that migraine's coming back. Oh, I think my back's acting up. Why don't we just call it what it really is? We're backslidden. We don't want to go to church. Folks, can I tell you something? Junior Hill put it like this. He said, the best definition of backslid, if there's ever been a time in your life you're more in love with Jesus than you are right here tonight, then you backslid. That's probably most of us. Amen? Now, I'm going to tell you, what we need to do is we need to change our thinking. We need to change our attitude. And we need to look forward to going to church. We need to look forward to being in God's house. We need to come to God's house anticipating a move of God. God, I know you're going to do something today. I know you're going to move in my life. We've got to get to the point that the bottom line, we say, Lord, if nobody else in this place gets a word from you, let it be me. If nobody else in this place gets revived, let it be me. If nobody else in this place gets renewed, God, let it be me. God, rain down on me. Folks, I'm telling you, that changed church for you. But we're not faithfully attending like we should. Man, it's amazing how we can go to a movie and sit for 3 hours. 3 hours. And then we come to church, and man, 12 o'clock, people go, preacher, your watch broke? Hey, brother, see that clock in the back? Got new batteries. Amen. Folks, I'm going to tell you, some churches, it's like a stampede at 12 o'clock. Man, they wanting to beat the Methodists down to the Shoney's. Amen. I mean, I'm telling you, listen, you can tell how a church is healthy. A church is healthy when they linger. They linger. They want to hang out. They want to fellowship. They want to be around one another. Listen, there's some people that it's really hard for them to fake it for 45 minutes. Amen? And then they just want to go. Bottom line, we need to change that attitude. We need to give our best when it comes to praising. Man, we're just not praising. We sit up there and sing songs like, victory in Jesus. My. Really? That doesn't look like victory. Amen? Folks, listen. We go to stadiums like SunTrust, where I'm from in Georgia, and they'll do something like this. Oh, the tomahawk chop. And those same people will come in a Baptist church and do something like this. Man, not a peep. You look at them, man, why wasn't you praising? Well, preacher, we just dignified. Dignified? Man, you petrified. Well, preacher, you know, we're a reverent bunch. Reverent, man, rigor mortis done set up. Folks, listen. We need to praise the Lord. Listen, NASCAR doesn't need to get our best praise. Football doesn't need to get our best praise. Wrestling doesn't need to get our best praise. Some of y'all just got convicted. Amen. Y'all think that stuff's real. Amen. Folks, can I tell you something? Listen. The Lord needs to get our best praise. He needs to be the one that we lift up holy hands to. And there's a reason. The Bible says that if we praise Him, He'll show up. He inhabits the praise of His people. And I don't know about you, but I want Him showing up. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. People try to say, well, I just don't praise because, you know, I think that's emotional. Can I tell you, we're created emotional beings. I remember the first time I went to one of my daughter's little basketball games when she was in rec league. And she gave me the talk, my wife. She gave me the talk, fellas. You know, don't you get loud. Don't you say nothing. I said, honey, I'm not going to get loud. Don't you embarrass her. I said, honey, I'm the preacher. Man, that first 2 minutes, David, I was good. And then something just came over me. Must have been an evil spirit, amen. Because I was just like, Macy, get in there with your elbows. Get the ball. My wife just kind of looked over. You're the preacher. Way to go, preacher. But folks, listen, let me tell you. The reason I was like that is because we are passionate about those that we love. And if we love Jesus like we say, we're going to be passionate about Him. Amen? Now, I know there's some people that say, well, there's just fake people. Can I submit to you tonight, there are fake people in both camps. There are people that are saying that they're reverent, that are really deader than a hammer. And there are people that are saying they're Holy Ghost, that are really just hype. But if I'm going to be forced to be in one camp or the other, I'm going to choose the happy clappy over the frozen chosen every time. Amen? Man, I just want to praise the Lord. Amen? And giving. Man, one of the quietest times in the church is when it's offering time. I can't wait till I go to a church and everybody just jumps up and shouts, hey, glory, I get to give my offering. I think I'm going to add a zero to the love offering tonight. Amen? That's a good place for an amen. But you know, here's the thing, folks. The one thing for us to know is we can never, ever, ever outgive God. Ever. I remember being one time in a restaurant, and I was with some friends, and this lady came in, and, you know, she had a little boy with her. I thought it was her son, but it ended up being her grandson, and she looked disheveled. And the Lord just spoke to me and said, I want you to go over there, and I want you to witness to her. I said, okay, Lord. He said, and I want you to give her $100. I was like, kind of like that Verizon commercial. Can you hear me now? Lord, we had a community. Can you hear me now? He said, and I want you to give her that $100. I said, but Lord, that's the only $100 I've got, man, for gas, food, everything. He said, I want you to witness to her, and I want you to give her that $100. I got up and I went over and I sat down. I talked to her for a little while, gave her, you know, talked to her about her testimony. She gave me a great testimony. And I said, ma'am, I want to be obedient. The Lord just spoke to me. I didn't tell her three times. Amen. And I said, I want to give you this. And tears came up in her eyes. And I got up and walked off. Never have seen her since. But church, I want you to know, that same week, in three different parts of the country, three different people came up to me and put a $100 bill in my hand. Made me want to give $1,000 next time. Amen. But folks, you can never, ever, ever outgive God. And it's amazing how we are with our money. You know, we gave Jesus our heart, but we're still struggling about our pocketbook. Amen. Folks, I believe with all my heart that what God wants is for us just to be generous. Have a generous heart. Be faithful. Be obedient. Man, don't you find it odd that that one that came to pour that perfume, it was called a waste. Listen, she was made fun of. She was criticized. She was condemned. Listen, do you know that the reason that other people criticize you when you're on fire for God is it exposes their backslidden condition? We know that one that began to berate her and put her down was none other than Judas. He held up a false front. He didn't care anything about the poor. He was a treasure. He was embezzling off the top. He cared about Judas. But the bottom line, that girl didn't give part. She didn't give half. She gave all that she had. What an incredible act of worship. Do you know that God sent His very best in His Son Jesus? And Jesus didn't give some. Man, let's just think about it. If we'd been Jesus, we'd have said, hey, I just fed multitudes. Surely they know who I am. If we'd been Jesus, we'd have said, man, I just healed the blind and the lame. Surely they know who I am. We'd been Jesus, we'd have said, hey, I just brought Lazarus back from the dead. He was at this very table that they were reclining around. Surely they knew who I am. But Jesus went all the way to Calvary. He came here on mission. And He went all the way to the cross for your sin and my sin and the sin of the world. Man, they beat Him. They spit on Him. They mocked Him. But He was nailed to that old rugged tree. And He took on our sin. And He gave up His life. They didn't take His life. He gave up His life. And they put Him in an old barred tomb. And on the third day, He rose again, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. I remember going to that garden tomb in 1995. My prayer partner was full-blown Pentecostal. She wasn't Baptist-costal. She was Pentecostal. Amen. Elderly lady. And she looked at me and she said, Brian, I went to that garden too. And I just didn't feel nothing. I said, Amelia, there ain't nothing there. Amen. He is risen. He's a risen Lord. Man, tonight, if you've never asked Him in your heart, you can't go to a place, you can't go to a time, no matter what your age. Listen, you're not going to get into heaven because of your denominational affiliation, being a Baptist. Listen, there's going to be a lot of Baptists in hell. There's going to be Methodists in hell. You must be born again, the Bible says. There's got to be a time that you ask Jesus into your heart. If you can't go to that time, you can't go to that place, man, you need to make tonight the night of your salvation. Nobody can do it for you. You've got to open up that heart's door and let him in. Right now, every head bowed and every eye closed. You say, preacher, I believe with all my heart God's speaking to me. Friend, if that's you, right now, I just want to lead you in what we in the church call a simple sinner's prayer. And I want you to know, you're not praying any magic words, but you're just meaning business with God. You say, man, that's what I want to do. Right now, I'm just going to pray aloud, and you can pray softly or silently where you are to the Lord. Lord Jesus, the best way I know how, I'm turning from my sin, and I'm turning to you. Lord, tonight I come trusting and believing by faith in the finished work of Calvary, bloody cross, and an empty tomb. And Lord, tonight I just surrender all that I am to you. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Right now, no one looking around, every head still bowed, every eye still closed. You say, preacher, I just prayed that prayer. I meant it with all my heart. I know the Lord heard me, and I know he saved me. If that's you right now, would you just slip your hand up real high? Real high. We've got time. No hurry. You say, preacher, man, there's an area to my life. I know I'm saved. There's an area to my life. I've just not been giving my best. Maybe it's attendance. Maybe it's giving. Maybe it's, listen, an area we didn't even talk about, Bible study, prayer, soul winning. But God's just convicted you, and you say, man, from this day forward, I want to do better. I want to be committed. I want to give my best and give my all. That's you, and you say, preacher, just pray for me. Just slip your hand up. Amen. 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 Any others? I want to encourage you this last night of revival. Man, this altar ought to be full tonight. Lord, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're going to do. The revival services will be over, but the revival should just be beginning. And if we're serious, listen, we'll be in this altar praying, begging God. God, give us this city. Bring them from the north, the south, the east, and the west. God, take us to the north, the south, the east, and the west. And God, help me to do my part. Help me to be a participant and not a spectator. God, nobody can take my place in praise. Lord, I want to be a generous giver. Lord, I want to be a faithful attender. God, use me. If that's your heart's desire tonight, you need to get up and come on down to this altar and just ask the Lord to cement that decision. God, just use me. I want to give my best and give my all. Right now, before the song even starts, I'm going to ask you, if that's your heart's desire, just begin to move, begin to get up, and begin to come on down to this altar.